Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, April 13th, 2020. We are reading from the Big Book, page 103, the first full paragraph, which begins, "We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred." Today's readers are Santa H. reading the 12 Steps, Pam Q. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading our text are Leah S., Leslie M., and Devorah S. Our newcomer greeter is Mary B., and making announcements will be Dawn B. The reference number for yesterday's special edition, April 12th, is 14,423 or 14423. And the reference numbers for this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. on April 13th is 14,426 or 14426. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Santa H. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, my fellows. My name is Santa H. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admit we were powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Santa H. I'll now ask Pam Q to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. My name is Pam Q, and I am a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Pam Q. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 103, the first full paragraph. And I will ask Leah S. to get us started this morning. Leah?
Good morning. Thank you very much, Kathy K. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics where lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for one drinker in a thousand likes to be told, for not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. There's so much packed into this paragraph. My name is Leah S., and I'm recovered and very grateful and thankful to be able to read this one today. What this tells me is that prior to me joining this program, I used to be judgmental. I used to be very critical. And at a certain point, it was to being grandiose. Even though I kept saying that I'm not haughty or anything like that, there was a certain element that did not have humility. And because there was no surrender in my mind at all, I didn't know what this means, that I do not control everything or anyone, nothing about my food, nothing about my life, nothing about my spirituality, and absolutely nothing. I found that once I started to give up my own ideas, I kept listening and hearing people say, "Do you want to be joyous, happy, and free?" And I thought these were just words that were written. They didn't really have meaning. But really, once I started to concentrate, what is joyous, happy, and free? It definitely is not what I am today. And I needed to change. I needed to change. And for those of you who think that mind work is not an action, it is a very big action. It is a change. It is something that is done consistently. And it cannot happen unless it does happen consistently from yesterday till today and then tomorrow. And if I like it and I feel free of the need to eat those foods or even think that those foods used to talk to me, then that's meaning. That's the meaning of free. I don't have to be obsessed about everyone because there are all types of people in this world. I need to be grounded in my own belief in God and my higher power. And that belief that whatever situation it is, He will take me out of it and into it and around it. And all of a sudden everything, it just falls by the side. I let it go. There's nothing that I have to control about. So you can be who you are. And I can have compassion, but I have to find my healthy boundary with that. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S., for getting us started. I want to remind everyone, as I take a list of names, that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experience too. So I'd love to hear from people who have not shared in the last few days. Who would like to share?
Hi, this is Laura S. in Denver.
Laura S.
Deborah G.
Deborah G.
Ronnie B.
Ronnie B. Who else would like to share?
Sherry Josie.
Can you say that again?
Sherry Josie.
Carrie Josie? Okay.
Thank you,
Carrie Jo.
Mark L. From
Mark L. And I'll take Debbie one F. more name.
Debbie F.
Debbie F. Okay, great.
Yeah.
Thank you all. And we'll have another list in a bit of time. Laura S., Deborah G., Ronnie B., Carrie Jo C., Mark L., and Debbie F. Please go ahead, Laura S.
Hi, this is Laura S. in Denver. Thank you. I am new to this. I've been doing this for 4 weeks, and I'm incredibly grateful. And I'm sort of watching myself. This paragraph was really helpful to me because I am starting to think that I found the answer for myself, and this must be the answer for everyone. And I want all the people around me to start coming to meetings neat like me, and wouldn't that be great? This would really help them. Whereas really, I think it's self-centered. This would really help me, right? Because then everyone else around me would be doing it, and then it would be harder for my disease to get to me. But I was listening to this paragraph and the share and realizing that I need to go back to step one where, I'm different from these people. I am different from these people. I don't know what their experience is. I don't know what the solution is going to be for them, but I don't even know if they need a solution. I need a solution. And I have found something that works for me. And when my disease says, well, they don't have to do this, I need to remember, no, they don't. I do. I have a problem. And everyone, needs to figure this out for themselves or what they want to do or if they even have a problem, which they might not. I'm starting to think everybody in my life has a problem with food. And I suppose that's possible, but I think it's kind of unlikely. So I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks so much, Laura S. Deborah G., please share with us.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for making this meeting possible and so grateful for this program. Continue to learn about myself. And I love that reading and I love what was shared about it. And because I'm right in there right now. And what I'm learning through going through this journey is there's so much about my being loving and kind and understanding and patient and having compassion and understanding people's suffering and where people are in different places. And, it all began with doing that with myself. My step work was about doing that with myself because I was so hard on myself and beating myself up and the perfect, just all this stuff with myself. And I want to get free of that because it is suffering. And I also want to get free so I can help others in their suffering, so they can be free of suffering. But I have to have that stuff put out there so that that power in step two can clear that away, can make the way, so I can be of service. Use me, power, power, higher power. Use me to be that those things to the people that come into my life that want to be free of suffering, no matter where they're at. And I'm so grateful to be here. And thank you all. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you very much, Deborah G. Ronnie B., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Ronnie, compulsive overeater in Missouri. And this is great for me to hear over and over and over because to some degree, I really think I've learned just a tiny smidgen over the decades of 12-step programs to mind my business and that actions speak louder than words. Yet there are still times, and I know that there have been, when I'll put in like a slide in a comment to someone who I think needs certainly help in this program, but many others, and it's never welcomed, But by now I'm not shocked at that anymore because I don't want anyone doing that to me. So I really think I get that doesn't help. And, and what I found is that when I was doing things like that on a regular basis, trying to let other people know what I think they should be doing, it really ticked them off. And so it didn't do well for our relationship. You know, not once did any of those people ever come back and say, tell me more about why you have a food plan and how long has it been since you haven't eaten X, Y, and Z. And, you know, people just have not flocked my phone trying to get information from me if they're not ready, just like I won't do anything if I'm not ready. So I need to remember that. But more importantly, I need to be looking at, why am I, where's the focus in my life if I'm trying to figure out what they should do? You know, so this program is helping with that. But also, you know, like my Al-Anon program, it's like, put the focus on myself. You know, if I'm pointing a finger at one person and figuring out what they should do, maybe there should be three pointing back at me saying, for example, have I done a 10-step this week? No. You know, have I made an outreach call? No. And then put that energy into doing things for my own recovery. And just maybe by some chance, someone down the road might see some things I'm doing that are bettering for me and might reach out for help. Because I know that we say in this program, it's not for those who need it, right? It's not even for those who want it. It's for those willing to do the work to get it and keep it. So that's where my focus needs to be, on keeping it one day at a time. Thank you, everyone. That's all I have.
Thanks so much, Ronnie B. Carrie Jo, please share with us. Carrie Jo C. Press star one.
Yeah, thank you so much. Sorry about
that.
Good morning. And I switched phones because I think the other one wasn't working. It's Sherry Jo C.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sherry. Got it.
No problem. It's my
Okay, go ahead, please.
Sherry Jo C, recovered compulsive eater in San Diego, California. Thank you so very much. I really love this section because I have to tell you, in all honesty, I do have an intolerance of, I think I would call it the food community. I was on an airplane. I used to travel a lot for my work, and I was on an airplane, so I think I'd been abstinent a few years. I came into the program in 1989. I got abstinent, and by the grace of God and this program, I've stayed abstinent during that time. And so I was a few years abstinent. I'm on this airplane, and I'm sitting next to this fellow who, as we're chatting, tells me he's the president of the National Grocers Association. And as we were talking, I might have said a little something about, oh, I'm into natural foods and healthy eating. And he launched on a diatribe about how the natural food movement was basically challenging his livelihood, and he, you know, represented the packaged goods companies, the cereal companies, the bread companies. And I sat there, and I had to confront my own intolerance, because with every cell of my being, I felt like this man was one of the people who I guess I thought had been responsible for me being so sick. And I didn't say a word of intolerance toward him. I listened to what he had to say. I didn't really engage in much more conversation after that. But in my mind, I honestly thought this is the enemy. And so what I ended up thinking to myself was, when I read this paragraph, behind all intolerance, there's fear. And I know that to be true in the world, not just in my program. And I saw the fear was that, you know, I would return to compulsive eating, that I would spend more years of my life in a food fog, that other people would suffer because of not understanding the allergy of the body, or, you know, the compulsion. And I was able to look at that and say to myself something my sponsor had told me from the very beginning. And what she said was that your higher power is bigger than anything. And if you're afraid of something, go inside of your heart and find the parts of your higher power that you're not in touch with, because your higher power is bigger than anything. And so this helps me a lot focus on, and I like what's already been said about focusing on what is my purpose. My primary purpose is to help to maintain my own abstinence and my own recovery by working the 12 steps and to be of service to those who are still suffering. And so that absolutely has to be my focus. And if I show intolerance or hatred of, you know, the food industry or advertising of foods that are so, in my mind, so unhealthy, I don't know many people that can eat them and stay healthy. If I give in to any of that, I'm not going to be effective. I do appreciate what's been shared already. I really appreciate this paragraph, and thank you so much for the opportunity to share. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Josie, for your share. Mark L., please share with us.
My name is Mark L. from Hartford, Connecticut. Jerry, thank you for sharing. Man, if I don't got what the other lady said, wind up that happy, joyous, and free, I would talk. If I got those three things in my life, I would not have to. I could tolerate anything. That joy is a joy y'all gave to me inside this fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. When I set that in my life, what y'all gave to me, I'm going to be happy always for the fellowship of Overeaters Anonymous. And I am free from compulsive overeating only one day at a time. Yeah, I can't tolerate other things too. About restaurants and stuff, man, they everywhere, and I have to tolerate that because everywhere I go, I see a restaurant what I cannot go into because if I do go into them places, I go on bins. I don't want to bins. I want to stay sober one day at a time. I want to work this fellowship over the environment one day at a time by helping other people to receive the same gift what y'all gave to me for me to share it back to other people. I love you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark L.
Hi, this is
Debbie F. Are you there?
Hi. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thanks, Debbie.
Great.
Go ahead.
Okay. This is Debbie S. and Recovered Compulsive Eater in California. And, thank you, everyone, for your service and for the shares so far. What this brought up for me today, this paragraph, was about, like, having empathy and not playing God and thinking that I know best, in working with others. And I'm working with someone right now and staying out of my own ideas about someone else's food and letting them have their own experience. And I get that reflected back because before this particular person, they were, they had an experience where someone was, it doesn't matter. I get to just have an open ear and be a receptor. And if I put myself in this paragraph, and say, you know what, how much did I not like to be told about how I was eating my food or what food I should eat or not do and, all this stuff. If I had that sort of judgment coming in anywhere, like that's what I encountered my entire life. And it wasn't until I came to the room in OA where I wasn't presented with that I felt safe. And then there was a sense of like, okay, there is help and hope here in these rooms where outside of here, I wasn't able to receive that. And so I get to practice empathy and to say that I'm not, I don't have judgment, it would be a lie. I do because I also get to then remember that, I get to make my choices that are abstinent and clean. And and everyone has their own journey. And so, again, what was shared, you know, what is my primary purpose? What am I doing here? And how can I be helpful to others? And I just love how it gives me a guidepost, you know, a spirit of intolerance. But what about a spirit of tolerance? And that's something that I can you know, shine my light toward. So thank you all for being here. And thanks.
Thank you, Debbie F. Okay, I'd love to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Deborah F.
D.
I heard Devorah S. Who else?
Linda,
I'm sorry, one at a time, please. I couldn't hear anybody.
Linda,
Ellen,
Robin.
Z.
Okay, Linda, what's your last initial?
Linda
A.
Linda.
D, as in
I got
dirt.
It. Okay, great. Okay, who's after
Gloria
Linda?
A.
Maria
Lindsay
A.
A.
Gloria
Rod
A.
G.
Gloria A. And then who was after
A?
Ellen C.
Ellen T. I think I missed someone else.
Lindsay A.
Robin E.
Lindsay A. And Robin, was that Robin P?
H.
Robin
nope,
H. Okay, great.
H.
Got it. Sorry, it's sometimes hard to hear everyone. So I have Devorah S., Linda D., Gloria A., Ellen T., Lindsay, did not get your last initial down, and Robin H. Please go ahead, Devorah S.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, Kathy, and everyone on this line that makes this meeting possible. My name is Devorah S., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And, you know, listening to everybody and reading this paragraph, it reminds me of the page 60 where it says, the first requirement is that we can be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. You know, it reminds me of that because it goes into the story about the actor, you know, where we're trying to control everybody. If everybody would just do what I want, then everything would be just go, the show would come off okay. And, you know, when I'm, this intolerance that I'm showing people, you know, that I'm giving off, that I think I know what's best, it's all self-seeking, selfish behavior. That I want what I want, that you should be doing what I want, and don't you know that I know best? And this is the root of my problem, you know? It's the root. And where does it come from? I really believe it comes from that fear in me that, you know, that I'm not good enough, I'm not respected, and this is something that I work with. I have to deal with this all the time. I'm not going to say, oh, since I came into program, my tolerance of everybody is just peachy keen and everyone is just lovely and beautiful. This is something that, you know, I'm a human being. It doesn't just go away and I need to work on it. And especially I see it mostly in my family. I'm being in quarantine now, you know, we're going on the fifth week, you know, being at home with everybody, very easy for me to get into this intolerance and I know what's best for you mode. So this is a great lesson for me that, you know, I don't know anything and I have to practice these principles, patience, tolerance, kindness, and love, just like God is with me. You know, these are the principles. God wants us to emulate him. This is what God is showing me, patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. And that's my job, so to say, is to be giving it over to other people. And this is something that I have to work on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, the most spiritual thing that I could do each day is acting this way, you know, because it's godly. This is what God wants from me. And so really grateful for this paragraph, for hearing the shares here. And it's all about, you know, it's all about me getting out of me because my ego feels that, you know, that I know what's best, right? And this program is a program of deflating the ego. So when I'm acting intolerant, it's my ego is glaring, it's blaring, and it's letting and it's pushing down that other person because I'm feeling not good about me. So so I have to recenter myself and get in line with God's will, and do what God wants me to do, and that's it. And practice these principles. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Devorah S. Linda D., please share with us.
Hi, this is Linda D. in Wilmington, North Carolina, compulsive overeater. There's a line in this paragraph that says, every new alcoholic looks for this spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds that we are not witch burners. So what spirit is that? That is the spirit of not being judgmental. I remember starting program, how ashamed I felt. This paragraph speaks to me about shame. The shame that I felt and the shame we feel because we do this before we recovered. Before I understood that there was a physical allergy and that it wasn't a matter of my depravity. You know, when I walk into a room, why doesn't an alcoholic or a compulsive overeater walk into the room? Well, they're going to be judging me. They're all thin. Look at them. You know, and really we're judging ourselves. So, and hopefully the people in the room are not judging us because they understand that we have a physical allergy too. And it's not a matter of depravity. And then when I am in the room and a newcomer comes, the gift I can give that newcomer is to be in that spirit. And say, look, there are people who can eat normally. Everyone isn't a compulsive overeater. There are people who can have Skittles for lunch and stay thin. Everyone isn't like me, but we are different and that thing. And welcome. We're going to help each other. And so that's what really jumped out to me is the idea of shame. Shame just keeps us down. Shame keeps us from recovering. Shame keeps us from reaching out to other people and being able to say, you know, whatever it is, you can get this and God will help you as long as you find an understanding of a higher power. So it reminds me also of how I, you know, this is not a religious program, but if I have time, I just want to say briefly that I used to think that witness meant, you know, knocking on doors when people would come to my door and want to talk about a certain religion. And what finally got me into a spiritual place of worship was seeing the people that I knew living the way they were living and saying, you know what? I want some of that. I like that. I like them. I think they're smart. They do this. I want that. Not them telling me I should. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you.
To unmute.
Hello, this is Gloria.
Great, go ahead, Gloria.
Yes, I'm Gloria A. from California, a grateful compulsive overeater, everyone. Thank you. It's wonderful to hear your shares. You know, the sentence that popped out to me was the first two, you know, we're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. And the second one, experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. You know, it made me think about when I first started program, I had this attitude. As I was becoming abstinent, I noticed that when I was going to events or activities and with my extended family, all of a sudden I started feeling very grandiose. I'm very critical in judgment because I had abstinence and they didn't. And I was just awful. And I remember my sponsor called me on it when I called her one time and told her, you know, they do this and they're overeating that and they're eating this. And, you know, everything was about them and what they weren't doing and what I was doing right. And that was not a helpful attitude to anyone. And my sponsor said to me, she says, Gloria, what are you doing? She says, where is your compassion for others? And, you know, she had me writing about it, and I did write about it, and I realized that I could no longer think that way. That attitude was not helpful to me or to anyone else. Otherwise, I was going to eat over it. No more enemies, no more intolerance, no more hatred of overeating. Was just going to have to realize that my higher power was a God of love, not of hatred, not of fear. He was a God of love. And that meant that my life was going to have to change. My attitude was going to have to change. And it was going to have to be coming from a place of love also and compassion for others. But in order for me to have any compassion and love for others, I was going to have some compassion and love for myself. And that meant doing some writing about why I'm feeling like judgmental about myself, why I'm so critical of myself as a compulsive overeater, you know. And once I did the writing and I realized that I found those things in myself, that intolerance and hatred, then I got to practice compassion for myself and compassion for others. Yeah, it all starts with me. I think that's what we're all saying this morning, is that in order for us to recover, for our own recovery, to work on it, on our own primary purpose, our focus has to be on ourselves and our intolerance and hatred of compulsive overeating, our intolerance and hatred of ourselves because we are compulsive overeaters, and to love ourselves, to come from a place of love and compassion for ourselves. And then what will happen is that we'll have compassion and love for others. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Gloria A. Ellen T., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. This is Ellen from Massachusetts, compulsive overeater and recovering bulimic. Very, 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 very grateful to be here today, abstinent through God's grace. Thanks so much for chairing the meeting. I've heard some great shares. And when this paragraph was read, it reminded me of the 12 traditions, which says, like, practicing these principles in all my affairs. And what people already mentioned today, the principle of love, gentleness, kindness. And I can't do that without God. You know, it's like back to step 6 and 7 for me of just asking God for help with my patience and impatience, intolerance. And I had somebody call me this morning, one of the women I sponsor, and she said to me, I've been afraid to call you for the past couple weeks, maybe a week, because I haven't been following all of your suggestions. And it was a very good conversation about they're just suggestions, and, you know, she was afraid I was going to fire her. I was afraid she was going to fire me. You know, all these insecurities that both of us came up with, and we just paused and she said, I'm just not sure what to do. And we just took literally 3 minutes on the phone with each other of just being quiet. And we took the third step prayer together, and I just said, what does your higher power want you to do today? And it was just very cool being quiet for 3 minutes together. And you know, not everybody has to follow all my suggestions. They might work for me, but they might not even work for the person that I'm sponsoring. So that's cool. And, you know, at the very beginning of this chapter, it says something like working with others, and we're going to people because they're a sick man. And I have to say, Ellen, I'm going to these people because I'm a sick person. You know, I've been abstinent for a period of time, and I am very sick, and it's just one day at a time, and I can't even begin to be higher, you know, get on my pedestal, because then I'm going to be in big, 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 big trouble. So I just have to go with just today and pray for patience and tolerance and lovingness, is what people said. And hopefully what I share, then the person that I'm sponsoring will share with somebody else, and then those words will be passed on to other people. So that's really my job as a sponsor, is to help other people, help other women find their own way to their own higher power. That's it. That's it. They're up to come up with their own food plan, with their own higher power, whatever. But that's really my quote unquote job, and then to encourage them that once they've done the step work, for them to help other people find their higher power and come up with their own food plan and like that. And OA is continuing to teach me that I am just a link on a long, long line of change, that wonderful change that hopefully will pass on when I leave this earth.
Time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen T. Lindsay, please share with us. I did not get your last initial, Lindsay.
Hi, I'm Lindsay A., and I am a compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. This is my second time hearing in this meeting, and very strange. I'm a bit nervous, but I'm hearing about tolerance, and what's already been shared is very true for me, and so I'll just say it again, is that I know when I'm looking out and I'm judging others, I'm really looking inward and self. And I don't know, I'm in a kind of a broken place right now. It's just the quarantine. I have settled into being by myself in my house alone, and it's really easy to like go back to old behavior, old habits with food that no one is pointing out to me right now. And my fiance lives in another town right now with another job, and he just came to visit over the weekend, and he called me out on some stuff. He called me out on misses having real meals with me because I'm snacking all the time. And he called me out, and he's never done that before, and I felt, just really raw, and I felt a lot. I'm feeling a lot, and that's the issue, is that right now my feelings feel louder than the truth I know. I know there's another side to this, and I just have to do some indicated steps, and this too shall pass. I know that as a truth in my heart today, and that's my experience and my strength, or that's my hope and my strength. I'm just really grateful to be able to get up and do some action this morning and go on a walk and listen to you all lift me out of some unhelpful headspace. So thanks for listening.
Thanks so much, Lindsay A. And Robin H., please share. You're our last share. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much, all of you, for your service and for your shares and for being here. I don't want to repeat what everyone has said, but everything that everyone has said and shared resonates so much with me. When I read this paragraph, so much just jumped out at me. In my earlier morning prayers, I realized the thing that I need to learn and practice is patience. And feel like this paragraph says so much about patience and really what I need to hear today in this moment. Patience mostly for myself. I mean, my partner keeps texting me, patience, patience. And I'm like, I am patient. No, I'm not. I have to listen to what I'm feeling. And that is, if I am miserable, discontent, aggravated, frustrated, and if I listen to what I'm saying or thinking about other people or what people should be doing or shouldn't be doing, that what's happening is that I am not patient with myself and I am not being tolerant with myself. Higher power just sits there. Higher power is tolerant and patient. My higher power is tolerant and patient. And, when I come into these rooms, I'm gratefully celebrating 13 days of abstinence from compulsive eating and food restricting. And it's good. I know it's good. And it's so hard. And because what I'm doing is I'm feeling, and I'm becoming aware of what I'm feeling. And I'm also becoming aware of what I'm doing and what I want to be doing to feel better. When I come into these rooms, you all and program is tolerant and patient and loving. And it's like you're all holding up a mirror to, you know, say, Robin, look inside. This is what you need to be doing. And if you're feeling aggravated, I'm aggravated, I'm going to start judging. If I'm aggravated, if I'm annoyed, if I'm sad, if I'm feeling like the food call me, or the disease call me, the reason that's happening is because I am not tolerant. I am not being kind. And I have all these examples of what works. And I just need to sit and listen and pay attention and to be open and accept and be willing for that absolute alteration of my own, like, inner psychic being, because that's the only way to recovery. And again, I'll say it, I'm just so grateful for everybody here on these lines, for your shares, for your work, and for your service, and to higher power and program. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin H. It's time to close our meeting. Thank you, everyone who has shared and everyone who has listened. We now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Afterwards, we'll say the Serenity Prayer together. So I'm going to ask Leslie M. to please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Go ahead, Leslie.
Thank you, Kathy K. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.